Channel 101, a continuation of the visit with Cookie and Mark really, and Cookie this Monday at supper, the 1st of November, 71. Now, there's a good bit left out right here that is the most important part in the tape, and that's Cookie's case. You don't have a degree. Channel 1 over, a continuation of the visit with Cookie and Mark. Mark mostly, this Monday, the 1st of November, 71. Again, Channel 1 over, and a continuation visit with Mark and Cookies here for a while, this Monday at supper, the 1st of November, 71. Channel 1 over.
This is something of Stamer. I guess a guy can give something of himself and it might not be anything that was in common with the person that recipient receives the gift.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was just...
I don't know. I wonder if he talks like this all the way through. I don't think he does.
He got me. I have nothing to say about that.
I seen the first part of the book. I don't know what the language is like.
What was your... Now, this is not your field?
This has something in common with what I acquainted with. In that he's concerned with language. The structure of language, the various uses to which language can be put, and all the aspects of the use of language, emotional aspects, for example, the informative aspects of language, all the different uses of language, is studied in philosophical analysis, which was unfortunately philosophical analysis or language analysis was the sort of philosophy I went through in grad school. It was that particular style,
yeah,
and of philosophy in Chapel Hill, at the Department of Philosophy. And so I was exposed about 4.5 years, my length, and, well, actually, I guess 3, because I got away from it as quick as I could on my dissertation. It wasn't like that at all, except for some concession to it, so they'd say, okay, we'll let you pass. But through about 3 years, I had lots of courses dealing with the structure, logical structure of language. Ideal languages, such as logical systems, you know, with the symbols and the rules, like mathematics, as well as ordinary language. So it was all linguistically oriented. And that's what's in common with this. Now, it appears that he's not only... It appears that he's not so oriented around the logical structure of language so much as what it says about man in society, or man as he experiences things. But this would be somewhat of my interest if that's what he's concerned with, and yet I'm not at all fond of the language he uses. The phrase, he says here, the phrase rhetoric of history does not contain or imply religious words or implications. I mean, rhetoric of history, the phrase, I mean, I'm just not in tune with that sort of concern with the phrases. Oh no, here he's got, although our dialogicians and speech thinkers antedate most of those involved in theological hermeneutics and radical or death of God theology, their concern seems particularly relevant just at the point where the interest of death of God in hermeneutic theologians ends. Oh, I could reread and reread that sentence. I could not make any sense.
Well, now, is that what you used to do?
No. It was better than this. Of course, I was exposed to some of the gobbledygook has been used by some people as to characterize this sort of use of language, needless use of fancy words. Just when you resort to something like this, I'm not too sure that you know what you're talking about, really, because so many people who use words that you can't find in a dictionary, like dialogician, you couldn't find that in the dictionary. Speech thinkers, you know, coining their own words. Hermeneutic theologians. Hermeneutics would be found in the dictionary, but most of the a lot of the words I've encountered in the paragraph you showed me that I just read, if you asked them what they meant, asked Harold Stamer what he means, I think he'd have a problem telling you what he means by his words. You'd find out that he's not so clear about what he says as it would assume that he would be if he uses this sort of language. At least that's my experience. People that use this sort of language, they when you ask them what they mean and really get into them, you ask them questions, and they're going to have a lot of trouble telling you. But then it's a game. It's a language game. If you're not, you know, all sorts of people have their own styles of language. As Cookie said, Cookie said something that was really, you know, true. It's not Cookie's language. I don't know whether Stamer could understand Cookie. His language, you know.
I wonder. It's a long way to go, isn't it?
Yeah, but the point is, Stamer only uses this for when he's talking to a few people who have the interest that he has. It's a small circle that play a game. Just like kids today have, some kids have their own style of speaking, which...
How did you get started in that type of thought, Mike?
Unfortunately, I got started by finding myself into a graduate school, being accepted at a graduate department, which was very faddish, very stylish. You know, it went with certain styles and was very, the word is provincial, I guess, and had very narrow conception of what is proper in the way of philosophizing. So they frowned on anything but concerned with language analysis.
Yeah.
But they'd pick up this book and they'd say essentially what I said about it.
How did you get into philosophy in the first place?
I got into philosophy because I was raising questions for a long time which weren't answered in physics, yeah. Which weren't answered in special disciplines. For example, I wanted to know from the physicist,
yeah,
just why he uses certain talks in a certain way about light, for example, as being a wave or being in particles. So I keep asking him questions, and finally I just got, well, that's just the way we speak.
Yeah.
And that didn't satisfy me, and they weren't concerned, the physicists weren't concerned with the their tools, their methods. They assumed their method in order to, and the problem was how to, come to an understanding of observable phenomena, assuming certain methods.
Yeah.
And I had questions about the methods. No, and they didn't raise those questions. I had a question about religion, which aren't answered by theologians.
Yeah.
I was concerned with literature. I thought about literature for a while. Questions weren't answered in literature that I was raising. And so I got into philosophy because I had simple questions about trying to make sense out of my own life. Like a very simple question, which everyone ponders over, like what death means for me. They're very personal questions, and unfortunately, I found out that philosophy, but too late, that philosophy's language analysis is concerned with, how are you using the word death? I just don't care about that. I don't know. I want to know what you think about death, and I want to know what you think about birth. I want to know what you think about this guy who in the country who's living the way he does and is very happy, and just why is he happy and I've got so much education and I'm so unhappy. Why is that the case? No, very personal questions that bother me, and they weren't answered. And they are answered by some philosophers, but not by the graduate study that I was exposed to. Unfortunately, those philosophers
were it was a sort of a trap.
It was a trap. Grad school.
The questions you wanted answered weren't answerable to start with.
Well, let me tell you something.
And then you got in a place where the answers got to be more and more difficult, you might say.
Well, if you asked me now whether I'd go to college, I'd say I may go to undergrad school for a little while. But I'd probably go into something like, crafts. Or carpentry if there's a trade school. I'd be exposed to a little liberal arts and hopefully an experimental college. I don't want to be exposed to any more large classrooms with the usual sort of lecture. I couldn't go through that again. So I wouldn't go through the college years that I went through if I did it over again. And so far, it was, you go so far in grad school, some people ask me, why did you...
Or keep on?
Yeah, it's irrational. I can't explain it. It's just when you go so far...
Yeah.
Yeah, you say, well, might as well finish it. And I began realizing the pointlessness of it, the absurdity kind of early in life, before it started, even high school, I got the notion that the more degrees you have, the better person you are.
Yeah.
Now, this wasn't explicitly said, but it was somehow implicit. In my environment, especially my immediate environment, my family, that the more degrees you have, the more worthwhile a person you are to listen to be heard. And that several years ago, midway through grad school, I said, that's nonsense. I was meeting people who dropped out of school, didn't want to even enter college, that absolutely fascinated me by their conception of the way they thought about their lives and my life and the way they could speak about it and their excitement over Shakespeare, their excitement over Jesus, and their insights into what they said. And it didn't come from any sort of college experience. And in fact, when you saw them picking up Shakespeare, it was when they dropped out of college. They began reading Shakespeare, and they began reading with some, real exuberance, some fascination. So it was, but you could go that far, continue, don't drop it.
And one thing leads to another, those big lecture halls.
Can you avoid them? Do you teach in big classes?
No, I don't teach in them, but there's plenty of them,
And the worst thing it must be is for those big classes to occur at the introductory levels, where you really do need these. The introductory levels are the most, profound or deep or something like that. They have more to say, more meaning than some of the seminars where you have the language games played that this is an example of.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, Mark, you have an experience. I'd like to, you know, sort of keep up with your thinking, the way you work it out. Now, you see, on the way out here this afternoon, we clashed several times. And I forget how did we start that?
We're discussing Suzanne's, what I described as her sense of humor. And Gass said, you said that you described her as having a light touch. That's what, and you said you couldn't understand, or you didn't use the word humor. It wasn't part of your vocabulary. It was academic or something like that. It was, and I tried to rephrase what you said. And you said, Mark, I've noticed, or something like that, that you rephrase, that you're constantly saying over again, trying to say over again what I'm saying, and you're not doing it. You're trying to. And then, and then I said in defense of that, I got two reasons for that. One is to try to find out if I really did understand what you said. And one way I can do that is to see if I could summarize it. So it's really, it's not motivated by any sort of concern of myself as so much as trying to listen to you, trying to get what you're
saying. Trying to get it straight.
Yeah. And the other reason for my repeating what other people say is that sometimes I do it and then add a variation in order to suggest that there's something presupposed or implicit that the person who said the comment didn't realize. And so we got off in the...
That's let me tell you. Restatement of it, I know where it was. Let me tell you, Mark. Yeah. I know where it was. Now, this was my own experience, and I couldn't remember where it was.
Mm-hmm.
But at the beginning of the Channel 5, the educational NET, you know, the educational network, the New York Times had this remarkable program with Tom Wicker and another fella. And then one of the older men there in the Times, what's his name, please?
Markle.
All right. Markle invariably would restate what they said, and he would just get in their hair something awful. And Tom Wicker would sit there and say, Mr. Markle, I didn't say that. And you know, I got so I just sit there, you know, and I'd get nervous all over, just waiting for Markle to restate what he said, and for Tom Wicker to tell him, Mr. Markle, not what I said.
Well, you know,
now that's what it was, you and I pulled on you.
And when you're facing a public, especially when you're exposed to an audience, you know.
Yeah.
That tactic, rephrasing what another person said, is often a way of pointing up its absurdity. And what you do is rephrase it, but you want to show up the person. But you rephrase it in a way to show up how foolish what is what the other person said. But now, when you're just in dialogue, for me, of course, we don't have an audience. Often, when we speak, for example, in a car, it's a sincere attempt. Is this what you said? And I don't care to argue with you at all. It's a technique I use for trying to get myself to listen better. And let me ask you this. I don't think you could use that technique very well. I don't think you would want to. But I wonder about it. For example, we went to a store to buy some staples, you know? Some jiggers, as you call them. You have this wonderful way of getting the people in conversation, and you got a woman in conversation who worked there, one of the clerks, and she was describing how to make a bonnet. Now, if you You have an interest in the way people say what they do, the quality of their voice. But now, if you also had an interest in their content, just what they are saying, then you might be driven, you might employ the sort of thing, or might use the sort of technique that I'm using, namely try to, well, now, is this what you are saying? Is this what you were saying about making a bonnet? I don't think you could. It would have been possible for you to rephrase her instructions as to the making of a bonnet. And so you wouldn't, in my conception of things, from my point of view, be listening to her, really listening to her. But you've said some things recently that has said, well, now maybe there's another way of listening. And that is not so much what the person has said, but how they say it. And that must be what you're concerned with. If that's what you're concerned with, then you wouldn't be using the sort of, you wouldn't be, you know, trying to rephrase it, I guess.
Well, I would listen to what you said about the bonnets. I wouldn't get it exactly straight. But you see, once she starts reporting on her bonnet, I can't stop her and ask her to put in the footnotes. Then it'll make it heavy. So I've got to wait my chance. Some other time.
I see.
You see, when she's just sitting there doing nothing, I say, now just about that bonnet, I kind of forget how the set was put in back there.
Yeah. See? Well, I see. That's, you know, you could do that. Yeah. And that would enable the conversation to continue.
Well, it keeps the lighter touch.
Yeah.
Keeps her.
But the hardest thing to do of all, and I've kind of made myself, I committed myself to this, and maybe I shouldn't, and I'm going to get away from it, because I see that it does kind of annoying. And it is a very hard thing to be able, honestly, sincere attempt to rephrase what another person has said, and to do so with the attempt to get it exactly what they said. And to, in fact, use their language as much as possible, because that really is a test of whether or not you listen to them. And it's that sort of listening that I'm trying, because I used not to listen to people at all.
Oh, really?
Books were more important than people.
Yeah.
For me, for many, many years. And so, just lately, in the last several years, I've used that technique to try to get myself to listen. And if I didn't listen, I'd say I'd annoy the other person. I would annoy the other person if I didn't rephrase it correctly, and that would be one of the, that'd be a good result. Say, okay, well, now, just what did you repeat what you said then? Then I try again. Well, now, this is what you said. And it's a great, closer and closer approximation, and finally they say, yeah, okay, now that is what I said, you see.
Mm-hmm.
By then, we're angry at each other. You're right.
Yeah.
So it may.
But you are making an effort to listen.
That is the reason behind it. It's not for an audience, and if it was for an audience, I might use the technique philosophers use that in forums and debates, whether it's for seminars, to we'll do it with variation and an implicit argument to show how foolish what is what the other person said. But when you're just concerned with, you know, in a dialogue, for me, it's a test of myself. If I can't rephrase what you said, if I can't in fact use your words, then I really haven't come to grips with you. I haven't gotten into your world at all. And so it's, I keep at it and I keep at it, but it can be self-defeating because you...
You see, Faye, Mark has got a... he's worked out a method that where his brain works. And the only difference in him and me is I found out long ago that my brain didn't work. And unless it just came to me, I might as well go home and sit down.
He can't sit down and say, now let's... Intuitiveness.
When I tell you, if Stamer was here, and if I was in just a dialogue situation with Stamer, I would be in quite a bit of argument with him.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think he's making sense
I don't think he was questioning what he's saying here. And I would use part of that would be rephrasing him. Well, now, is this what you mean? But it would be not, I have two purposes behind it. One is to try to really get at what he's saying, and it'd be honest attempt, but also I would sense for the stamer, a guy who wants to play, who wants to play a little professional game with certain rules. And I would, so I would use that technique with some other sort of moves that philosophers make in order to point up some of the absurdities and to that I would sense in something like this, if it was something particular that was said. But with you, I don't see that we're playing games, you see. I don't see that you're playing any professional game, that you want to argue. And so for you and for most people I meet, outside of the classroom, it's a sincere way of testing myself.
Well, now he's using the word speech, and you see his use of the word speech and mine would be not in the same world.
Could you talk with him when he was out here? Cookie could, because I guess Cookie said he kind of, well, he didn't talk.
He stayed on Molly most of the time.
And talk about Molly.
Well, it's just a...
He has a way of talking about a professor at Princeton, his horse, and things like that. So that his world is right elevated. That is his small talk.
Very good.
Now what, but Cookie's talk, such as we just heard, now Cookie has a gift for reporting. It's clear, it's informative, and it's interesting. And it's some of the finest reporting I've heard. He's done it right here. I can't, with this thing in mind, I can't see that Cookie's gift for language would have any relevance at all to him. But I see, to me, Cookie has a gift for language and he doesn't. I mean, anybody can use that sort of language. I used to admire the people who spoke French, international language. But what they did, they spoke it in the dictionary sense, in the etymological sense. It required no ability at all, no knowledge of language, or no knowledge. So you still get by in French.
Would you say Cookie has a... Would you say that you get an idea of Cookie's philosophy, you know, the way he thinks about his life, and about how to deal with people, from the way he reports?
Well, now, you see, you've got to choose your categories. That's what I said to you about the preacher a while ago. Yeah.
But philosophy is a term that... a word that I don't find academic at all. I find it, in fact, battled around so much that almost anything counts as philosophy.
That's right. That's
so
right.
I think Cookie would, in fact, say, well, my philosophy, he wouldn't say it normally, but if I don't like his philosophy. Cookie, I think, would find that to be a phrase that he would be comfortable with. I don't like this guy's philosophy. And he'd mean by that something that I could understand far more than what most philosophers say about philosophy.
Well, now, he's never abstract.
But philosophy can be very concrete in how you can...
As you were saying it there, though, Cookie would never make a statement like that. And nobody I know in the countryside would.
They wouldn't say something like, I like that guy's philosophy.
Oh, no.
He wouldn't say that, or... Because, you know, they could mean by that just the way that guy deals with people.
Sometime in religion they'll say, It's not religion that they'll say that's at fault. He just don't believe in Jesus. Mm. Now, and the meaning there, that's still not abstract.
Well, someone will say, well, he's just not religious. Well, is religious abstract? Well, I don't know. Is religious philosophy? I didn't know that. I thought maybe that they would use the word religion a lot, and they'd say, this guy's religious, just as they might say of philosophy. This guy's got a good philosophy. I mean by that, this guy is down to earth. I can deal with this guy. But the Cookie might say, I don't like this guy's philosophy. And mean by that, that Stamer just doesn't talk about his experiences when he's alive, when he's on the farm. He just doesn't talk about them.
Well, now, let me tell you, Mark, I told you that. We've talked about that out here. I was trying to deal with some of the people out here. I didn't ever propose, when I bought this place or made a payment on it, I didn't have in mind living out here. I was just going to have that old trailer that used to be over there. Mm. And the magnolia tree fell over, and I had to put it over here where I had a little shade. I actually put it over here where I'd have all the buildings in one row. Mm. And wouldn't hem me in, but I'm hemmed in another way. And the people who came out here just beat me. Came out here to beat me. And it was unpleasant and unprofitable. And somewhere along the line, it was just a bad situation. There wasn't anything I'd do about it. And I think we talked to you about that one time. This boy over here, Sims, used to come. He didn't have a job then. And he'd come over here and ride Noopy.
Oh, yeah.
You heard Faye talk about
that. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Well, that's it. Now, that's the first toehold we got into the countryside. The very first. Now, and I've had disastrous situations. I mean, knock down, drag out. I know we never did that exactly, but it was next thing to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was serious misunderstanding. And there really were. Now the first headway I actually made was when I fixed up the tape and taped some of that talk and listened to it.
Because we weren't hearing.
We weren't hearing what they said.
We weren't hearing.
Well, that's a way of, you know, and repeating. They're repeating
right.
What they said,
that's
but you're
right.
Not asking them. And that's probably better, because if you asked them, now let me repeat what you said,
yeah.
Then they'd
yeah.
probably think you're
but
arguing
you
with
you
them.
Could,
that's right.
That's right.
But
you
could actually
hear it.
That I see.
Uh-huh.
So that actually is. I think
yeah.
some of the things that I've been trying to do, but it's a I can see the
it's
better.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
I can see that yours has advantages.
Well, you see, you have this extraordinary sense of honesty, which I never was. I never had that. You see, all of that. You see, I have to manipulate people. But that didn't worry me. I wasn't going to publish it. Anything, you see, it was just here. And actually enabled us to live together. That's what it, the way it worked out. And,
yeah, that really, really surprised what taping can do for.
Yeah.
See, it enabled us to understand Cookie.
Yeah.
We
if
could
it hadn't
never.
Been for that, Cookie would have been gone from here long ago.
We could never.
You see, the truth is not in him.
I don't
you
understand.
Don't know,
what do you mean by that?
You don't know where he's going, 44th Street, and you don't know who he's going to see.
Oh, I see. So he's a guy who's not straight.
Well,
straight.
It's just Cookie, yeah.
Right.
But
you see,
he could sit here and
yeah.
tell you that he's good. He is going someplace tonight, and he doesn't. He might be doing something quite different. You know.
Yeah. But we had
oh,
to
yeah.
find that out.
Yeah. Well,
and that could be
you're not looking for, that's not actually important.
Yeah.
But that's not really the thing that's important.
No.
No.
I tell you the big thing that it was is that I would expect something of them.
Uh-huh.
Now you see, my expectation could go for 6 months. And they would hardly get any signal from me at all that I was thinking that they weren't coming up. But eventually, you see, I'd have enough.
Yeah.
The expectation. And I learned not to expect anything. That is to say, not have that expectation hanging over. If you expect it, and don't bring it up, clear it up. Get out from under it. Isn't that right?
So you just don't have those worries anymore.
Don't
counting on someone to.
Well, it's not my worry. It gets them.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
They don't want to live under that expectation.
Oh.
And they sense it just like that.
So that may be behind what you said about Cookie's often. Of course, Cookie may have said it in a joking way that he had an apology. But he might have been sincere. I don't know.
Well.
And he said, "I don't want your apology." And you probably really meant that. That you don't, or maybe you're just joking.
No, they knew what they were talking about, this fella yesterday, so they knew what they were talking about.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. That was understandable.
I thought,
but there's just the whole
mistake,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, now that's so the tape actually has enabled this place to exist. It had been gone long ago if I hadn't had the tape.
And
I have gone through, I have made all the blunders on the taping, you see, all of them.
But it's enabled you
to hear, get them to repeat,
what they said.
And to understand.
And it,
that's right.
Really,
And you just...
Yeah, and if you ask them to repeat...
How many conversations have you had just with just around anywhere that you can really keep it straight after you do?
I can't.
Yeah.
This is our trouble too, Mark.
Yeah.
It's not just, yeah.
The way it was said as well as what was said.
That's
I can't
right.
retain it.
Yeah. Suzanne can.
Any kind of memory?
Yes, because she has a light touch. She doesn't retain it in her memory. That faculty called memory is something that is oughtn't should never be used.
So that's not what you would say about her. She has a light touch, and that's enabled her.
It's just with her.
Yeah. No, she developed it. She couldn't do it when I first saw her. She learned it working with me, but I didn't develop it. I can do pretty good.
Yeah.
I can do it, but it's an effort with me, and with her, it's a gift, and it's... She does it with ease. I could show you some little pieces of her reporting. Mm-hmm. You see, the only people that keep coming,
yeah,
are the ones who come out and report.
Yeah.
I see you reporting now. But people also ought to use a typewriter to report. And report with that same light touch that Suzanne has. Now you see how I jumped to the day? You heard me.
And they're in town.
How you jumped me?
Jumped her.
No, I didn't
there
understand what
town.
Was behind it. No, I didn't. You all were. I don't know what
she has typed out these fine reports about Miss Guthrie.
Yeah, and you weren't entirely pleased by some situation.
Very beautiful. Now she hasn't done Mr. Weaver.
Oh yeah,
and he's her favorite.
I see.
And she hadn't done Miss Chitty, and Miss Chitty is the very top violinist. Has the greatest skill of anyone we've talked to.
Yeah.
Herself. In reporting, and Suzanne had none. I jumped Suzanne, and I did it in these terms. Very light touch. It'll take. I mean, she can't ignore it. It'll stay with her. And she has to have those things. I said to her, Suzanne, it's just a matter of mortality. Remember that? I said, Faye's, some of her most gifted friends have just been lost in sinkholes. And it's frightening to think what has happened to some of her marvelous friends. I just wouldn't even want to see to you.
Well, now that I don't quite, because that seems to indicate that maybe reporting to you is not just a scholarly sort of thing. It's also a sincere attempt to keep someone in your life.
No. What I'm doing is putting a little firecracker under. And I said to her, you see, with all your gifts, this will happen to you. Some big semi will run you down.
Some big
semi.
What's a semi?
Semi truck.
Truck trailer.
He just.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not joking. It's serious. He can do it. With all the chances that she takes, she has a bicycle right in the traffic. Now she's riding that motorcycle, you see. Yeah. She's just flirting with mortality. And what I said to her was that Mr. Weaver deserves... Now, Tarwater, you see, she knows. Old Tarwater has to be buried. That's in one of the books that she read. Old Tarwater adopted this boy so he'd have somebody there to bury him.
Yeah.
And she owes it to Mr. Weaver.
Yeah.
He has been of that much service to her and lifted her spirits, and she owes it to him to do those little eulogies in a way. Those little sketches such as she has turned out on Ms. Guthrie. She owes it to him.
This is her gift.
That's a gift.
So you see it as not merely satisfying your own scholarly interest,
but
as being something you owe to another person
to
be able to get what they are, to see what they are.
Sure. It's nothing to do with God.
Nothing to do with me.
Nothing to do with God.
Well, it's nothing to do with just...
Of mortality on her part. You see, she uses such extraordinary poor judgment. She took a crip course in colonial history, American history. And of all the courses that you take, the history department is one that has no crip courses in it. And colonial American history is about as dull as you can find. It's as slow as you can find. There's nothing in American history, at least until Jefferson, you see. Franklin and Jefferson, later part. She gets hung up on that. It takes her out of circulation. Mr. Weaver will be gone.
Yeah.
And then she can't do it. You see, as soon as he's 6 foot under, the whole thing will change. And she won't have the light touch. It'll be a eulogy then, really. But now, you see, it can be a sort of meeting. And she owes it to him, to herself, almost to posterity. It's such a beautiful thing that she can do. But she's just a child, you see. And she gets caught. You see, all the institutions have such traps.
Yeah.
None of them work in favor of a man anymore.
Yeah.
The one thing you can't trust anymore is an institution. Marriage, the Department of Philosophy, all of them, you see, will trip you. Yeah. And it don't take them long to do it. All you got to do is believe in them, and that's the end of you.
And go by their rule.
Yes, sir. The only salvation is a position of doubt that is not worth a tinker's damn. That'll keep you on guard.
And the Suzannes of the world, Mark. Now, you had focus and direction, but there's very few girls that we've ever met.
Yeah, they can't get through.
You see, that's even in my field. You see, the girls always have to take care of Uncle Jojo, or they always have to bake a cake, or they always have to, they're tied.
Yeah.
And a girl will more than anybody. And here's this girl with all this gift.
Yeah.
And somebody has to sort of put a firecracker under to keep her going.
And I can do anything to Suzanne, and she won't be mad at me.
No.
She's been working with me since she came here, the fall of 68.
Mm-hmm. And she's got this gift. And it's not Guy and scholarship.
And she's as close to me, I guess, as a child ever was.
Yeah.
But she could... She just loves to fritter.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
All these chances, you see, mortality. There's not said over and over again, see. Now, that's what you're writing.
I see. I wonder what was behind it. And that's really illuminated some things.
That's,
you understand what reporting is for you. It's a way. It's something that you owe to some other people. I didn't realize there's that kind of thing behind it.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, yes. It's not something.
Well, I appreciate much more now because I was
to play with.
I thought it was just a scholarly game.
See, I work with
anthropologist.
I put all sorts of time on cooking. He doesn't know how much time I put on him. Mm. You see, it enables me to live with him. You see, and I learn from him. And
but you're genuinely concerned about Cookie's welfare and about maintaining.
Sure. And
if he doesn't come here, you wonder when in the week you wonder what happened to him.
Sure we do.
You really wonder.
Sure we do.
Yeah.
Not just because you're gonna miss out on reporting,
oh, no.
But because
oh,
you
no.
just genuinely concerned.
No, I got plenty of reporting material.
Okay. Okay.
But
I just didn't realize
it's enabled
this.
Us to
see. But I see that's you. You ought to know that without having to be told.
Well. I tell you, I don't know. Maybe I should. I couldn't see this other dimension to it. I couldn't see that this was behind reporting. I saw it as a scholarly sort of thing. This is your classroom, and you bring the university here, and this whole thing is a big classroom for you, and you're treating these people around here as an anthropologist would treat people, you know, collecting facts on.
And
which
see,
is very different from, which is very different from, you know, genuinely being wrapped up in someone's welfare.
Trying to understand. You see, you gave us the clue when you said you were trying to listen.
Yeah, and that was my technique. Right. And then you suggested that reporting for you is that sort of thing, trying to get another person's world, but not face to face so that you would annoy them by asking them to. That is kind of annoying now that you've drawn attention to it.
Restate it so you can understand.
Is this what you mean? No. Well, let me try harder. Is this what you mean? No. Okay, I could see that would. That would get a person to shut up pretty fast.
Light touch. And move, and turn it loose. Turn it loose. Make a statement and turn it loose. Turn it loose fast.
I don't understand that now, because I have difficulty, really. I'm sincere about this. I'm not quick of mind. And so I have used for a way of examination. And that's why one reason I went into philosophy, because I had too many physicists, too many theologians, too many English professors who say something and say, well, now this is what he means. Now we move on. And I just will not take that. I want to stay still. Let me hold. Now, what did you say?
Yeah.
Just what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Really? I don't think that's what he says at all. Hold it now. Don't go on with the class. I know it's over in 50 minutes.
Yeah.
But by golly, I want to understand what you're saying now.
Yeah.
Now, another way, I guess, is as you said, to get it and drop it. And I could do that only if I was quick of mind. Because I really want to understand people, so I kind of go back to a statement they said, and I say, bring that up again. What did you say a few minutes ago?
Yeah. Or you see, that makes it so heavy, it changes the whole thing.
Oh, I see. For me, it's a genuine attempt to understand it, but
you're celebrating so hard, you see, that there's no possibility of seeing it. The celebration is so intense.
It's an intense effort to try to understand what is said, not to argue with them.
But understanding is a lower gift.
I don't see it. I don't see understanding as in the clouds at all.
It is one of the least of all the gifts.
I see it as getting to a person's feelings, perhaps. Dealing with their feelings, and if I can somehow, is this what you said? Oh, then it might strike my feeling in me, and I can, that I've had. I don't see it as high in the clouds as you see it. Understand?
I don't see it high in the clouds. I see it
as abstract. I don't see it.
No, I see it as sort of a nuisance.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a low gift. It's a very low gift. It's like honesty. You know, nobody wants to go around making a point of being honest or sincere. You assume those things. And when the occasion arises, just don't be honest or sincere.
Well, there it goes. You're fooling me. Boy, I know you're fooling me.
Mike, you want some water?
Hey, should I, is this really the case that I can be here at see Ms. Davis at 7 in the morning?
Sure you can. I'll tell you just exactly how to get out there. Won't be any trouble.
If that's good water, if that's that special water.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. Yeah.
Thank you.
Let me get some. Fill it up again.
No,
this is enough.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
This is fine. I got a tractor to put in there. You got light in that shed?
You don't need to worry about that. Just let it set out. No,
is that okay?
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to rain.
No, Mark, let me tell you. I use some fairly difficult material, but I try not to approach it in a difficult way. But the way I start out the literature courses now is with Mark Twain's Roughing It. It's sort of travel. Mm-hmm. And what he does is report what he sees. And from that I go to Ms. Rawlins' Cross Creek, which is also prose, and she's talking about true people, what she saw, her experiences over there. Now, she doesn't have Mark Twain's light touch, but she knows more than he does about the subject she writes about, so that her method is a little bit more substantial.
See, I'll read her book, because I haven't.
You sort of balance them and enables you to see the experiences, and neither one of them, you see, think. They don't indulge in thought. Yeah, no abstractions, no statements of opinion to speak of. If they are, they're just incidental. The experience almost speaks for itself. Now, you see, then I'd go from that into something just a little past that. And eventually, the finest thing in this kind of, that I've been able to handle,
mm-hmm.
is that thing of Faulkner's The Hamlet.
Mm.
But you see, I'm dealing in fiction. Except I don't read it as fiction. I read it as an experience.
Mm.
That he's reporting something that he knows about. That's the way I read the Hamlet. So,
yeah.
I don't...
these people, I guess, you indicated earlier, that you kind of get someone started, and then you move out of the way.
Try to keep out of the way. Yeah. Try to.
To understand that.
And these are what these authors do. And is that what you mean by not thinking? Because you're not thinking about what you can do, except to start things off. And then you move out of the way and thinking.
Well, I work with them all kind
of. Or
right.
The concentration is on the other person.
Mm-hmm.
The other person is. And,
but
I'm not, maybe that's true to some.
Well,
I'm not sure.
I can tell you. You see, we live in different worlds. And I have tried from time to time to enter yours, and it always injured my mind, you see. And my mind not near as good as it used to be, because I've spent month after month getting into material like this. I didn't know what about it. And it was
a real mind trip,
it got,
as the young people say.
It got me. And sometimes I did it in another language. You talking about that will get you, see? Well, I'm telling you.
That sort of thing in another language, yes.
You know, that's why I suggested to you to start with, and you said you didn't want to get in any cell, you see, when you first came out here. But all I meant to say was, just a few pages, and you don't have to read the whole shebang, you see, just a few pages and several of these.
Yeah, I'm going to expose myself.
We'll show you, kind of, the approach.
Yeah.
And you see, my assumptions would be different than yours, but that doesn't hurt anything, you know. You see, I work from the assumption that, you see, there's an inquiry, but no answers. If there were an answer, it'd be awfully dull. If you would answer an inquiry, it'd be worse than not knowing. And you see, I'd like to take position, but I've never got a hold of anybody, you see, that would talk to me in my terms. See, he could do it, but I can't use his terms. I'd like to consider religion as something without content. The thing that balls it up, you see, is Elijah. Once you mix it with content, you're gone. Because the vast number of people, you see, can't handle content. They have no conception of it, see. People like Cookie are at home in their experience. See, you get out of that experience, and somebody else has to do the talking. That's the way most of the world is. So that you can't have, actually, religion with content.
But you know, we have something a little in common, Cookie. A few things that we can say about ourselves, and he can say about himself. I think we genuinely have find it shared. When he's talking about, as he did this evening, about not being permitted to do things because he doesn't have certain diploma, certain degrees. We can understand that, and we can see that that would be a problem, and we could put ourselves in his shoes, though we're so unfortunate as to have degrees. Nevertheless, we can put ourselves in his shoes and see that this is a pretty ornery sort of thing.
He can't put himself in our shoes.
That's
we have to do the adjustment.
Oh.
See, we have to do the adjustment.
Very good. Yeah,
in every case.
Now that's the one thing, you see, you get out of college, is you can if you will. You don't necessarily do it, but you kind of get the faculties where you can.
Yeah.
You can look at it from somebody else's point of view, and he can't do that.
Yeah.
No. But we had to study it to know.
Yeah, that's a little gear, you know. That's a little shift that they don't, any of them have. But they got so many fine things. It's just amazing. Just amazing. And Suzanne can see it. Oh, she can see it. It's just marvelous to see her record it. She can talk it. She can write. But she doesn't, because she gets hung up on all this colonial history and stuff like that.
Well, I bet you Cookie sees things. Well, you know, you do some things that Cookie's doing. When you talk about cows, Cookie can talk about cows, because that's part of Cookie's experience. When I talk about problem with people who use a difficult language, Cookie, I think, understood what I was talking about. And I think he appreciated it, because I think he may have occasionally heard someone over TV or pick up a book, and the language is just need not be used. It could be the way he wants to. It could be simple. And I think Cookie has solved
it. Now, didn't he pick that up and told that story of Mr. Lake?
Yeah.
Wasn't that amazing?
Well,
I'll be damned.
Wasn't that amazing?
So he could grasp my world.
Well,
he saw into my world.
And put it into experience.
Right. He did it right
there.
This
is something I've had. Let me tell you what I have in common with you. There's something different, but there's something very...
But he doesn't make transitions, you see. You labor your transitions.
But... Yes, he did.
That's amazing, isn't it? It is simply
amazing. I don't think it's too amazing, is it, that people can have something in common with you and me, even though they have not been to school?
Well, the light touch he had in Mr. Lake, he says, you haven't been to college. That's all he said.
Yeah, that's all you said.
You see, I just stood there and cut myself. This thing here.
It's a good knife, I told you.
Yeah, I love that.
Real good.
Point. But when I get to stand there and cut myself, you see, I'll do that, you know, and first thing you know, I'm just gone. Hey?
Yeah.
What is Mark coming back out here?
He's going to sometime start at 7 o'clock, be there by 7 o'clock. I'm riding in this direction.
Okay. God almighty,
You
know, I'd give anything to get out there and work with them goons. I would give anything to do that.
Work with the goons?
Grooms.
Oh, yeah.
I'd give anything.
Oh, I'm very excited about that.
They won't work with me at my age. They won't. You see, they won't take no one. You got to be young.
Yeah, they may not work with me.
Oh, yes, they will. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited.
I don't know them all out there. I know Bill, if he's still out there. Yeah. He's man alive, and that woman out there. Now you talk about moving. She can move. Oh yes.
Is some woman who grooms?
She runs the place.
Oh, Mrs. Davis.
Mrs. Davis. Oh yeah. She's a dynamo. And she's just as interesting as she can be. And you talk about telling her what happened. She can tell you. Oh, I just love to be out there and listen to her.
Yeah.
I just listen to her. I'd like to hear her bark at me.
Yeah.
Oh, she can bark at you. You just be stupid and let her bark at you.
I usually am stupid until I learn the rules of the game. Well, another person goes about things.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
She
okay.
Can do it.
Well,
she's got a gift of language. She has. I don't think it takes much to get it going.
Well, you might have a castle in an apartment.
Down there where the light is, where you can see.
Oh, let's see. Yeah. Irvin.
Follow there.
Yeah. Really easy. Go on past McIntosh, on down to past Orange Lake, and there's a, on top of a hill up there, there's a Marion Market on past Orange Lake, and it's on the left, and then you turn left there to Irvin,
okay.
And it's just a little bit down till you come to Sunshine Stud, the horse farm. And she'll either be up at the barn or down at that house as you go in. You turn in and ask for her, and she knows you're coming.
Oh, well,
and she'll be there at 7 o'clock.
This is really.
And you'll start work at 7 o'clock, and I don't know what your time off is going to be.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'll just.
But the thing about it is, now we hadn't. You're not through with us.
No, I'll give you a ring and try to get down here and.
You see what you're.
I'll have to see what my schedule is like.
And you'll also have to work late in the afternoon, late in the evening, lots of times.
Yeah. Okay.
Because
well,
you know horses have to be fed. And,
this is.
But
fantastic.
She's looking forward to having you.
Thank you.
Oh, hell,
babe,
don't make it polite.
She's gonna work the socks off of you.
Yeah.
Look out, Sam. She's tough.
Well, I just feel my way to see what it's like, you know. I just
now don't go around. Nothing will be said about any debris or anything else.
That's good.
And nobody else down there. So you just.
Well, I usually let people know there's no talking about degrees.
Just don't even mention the degree.
Right.
You barely got through high school.
As far as I know, I just had trouble with college and that's all.
Now you won't hear any talk like that.
That's good. Okay, well, thank you very much, Faye. I can contact you pretty soon after I'm with her. Maybe. A couple days. I'll be ringing to tell you what it was like.
Come by here, my.
Yeah, no? Come by.
Well, my dear, tomorrow or the next afternoon.
Finish that strand down there.
Yeah.
We'll do. I've got uppermost strand to get on the last.
All right.
The second one.